Today I want to talk to you again about getting back up when life knocks you down. And I mentioned last week, life will knock you down. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how mature you are in your faith. Life has a way of knocking us literally down. So we're going to stand real briefly. I'm going to read Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. So if you'll stand with me, we'll honor God. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. Father, bless us today as we look briefly at the life of Habakkuk and then look at our own lives. Father, Habakkuk is down to nothing. The people of his day are down to nothing. And yet he made a choice to rejoice in you. Help us to learn to do the same, and we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you remember back in the 1990s, I mentioned this last week. I'm going to make it briefer this week. But back in the 1990s, there was an ad on TV put out by LifeCall. And it was an ad of an older woman that had fallen down. You saw her walker laying on the side and a lady laying there. And she presses a little button that she's got, a little pendant. And a man comes on the line and says, "Ma'am, how can I help you?" And she says, "I've fallen and I can't get up." And it's one thing when we fall physically, as I mentioned last week, and you can't get up. You can get help from somebody. They'll come and pick you up and get you going again. Well, what happens in life when we fall down emotionally? Not a physical thing. It's your whole emotions have just crashed. When spiritually, you've done something you knew you shouldn't have done, and your heart is just breaking over it. When mentally, things are really going haywire. When in your life, it's a divorce in your family. It's your child that's sick. Where do we go then? You can't just push a life alert alarm and have somebody say, "I'm going to help you get up." We have to learn to know where to turn to when those times come, because they are coming. In Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Folks, when we have no reason to hope in this life, we still can hope in our God. Our God says this life is not all there is. Our God says our relationships on this earth are not all there is. When our health gives out, and it will sooner or later for you, I don't care how young or strong you are, sooner or later your health is going to give out. Sooner or later your strength isn't going to be enough. In my hospice work, I come across it all the time. People that used to be young and healthy just can't do it anymore. And somebody else has to pick up. Folks, that's the story for each one of us as we live long enough. There are things that are impossible with men, and yet we have the promise of God found in Luke 18:27. Jesus replied, "What's impossible with man is possible with God." Habakkuk lived in a time that judgment is about to fall on his nation. When you look at the things that our nation is doing and allowing, we keep thinking, man, judgment's about to fall, judgment's about to fall, but we got to praise the Lord. We've got a long-suffering God. He hasn't brought judgment yet, not to say he won't, but so far so good. But Habakkuk lived in a time when God said judgment is about to fall. And I'm going to use the most evil nation on the earth to bring judgment on my holy people. And Habakkuk's got a real problem. He says, "God, we're not doing well. Politically, spiritually, every area you look at, we're failing. But man, the Babylonians are 10 times worse. God, why would you use them to bring judgment on your holy people?" You know, there are a lot of things that God does that we don't understand. I've still got a lot of questions left. Now, I've studied and studied and studied, and I know a lot about the Lord and His Word, but there are still things that God allows in my life and allows in people's lives that I love. I don't understand it. I don't know why He does some of the things He does, but God wants to tell us, as He told Habakkuk, I'm going to work this trouble, not only for your good, but for the good of all my people. In Romans 8:28, you've got one of the most precious promises of God. And I cannot encourage you enough. You need to memorize Romans 8:28 and 29. When the bottom drops out of your life, and it will, you need these verses. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. I want to go back to verse 28. There are two stipulations given here for you and I to have everything that God allows in our life to work for our good. Those two things. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who do what? Number one, who love Him. Love puts the other first. In your relationship with your God, do you love God more than you love yourself? If you do, God's going to work everything for your good. And the second thing, who've been called according to His purpose. Not your purpose, not my purpose, His purpose. Do you have in mind the things of God that you want God's will to be done? Or are you bound determined you're going to have your will done? Folks, it's a difference. A lot of people think, well, God's supposed to work everything for my good. Well, if you love Him with all your heart, He will. But if you don't, He won't. If you want to do His will, He'll work everything for your good. But if your main thing is, I want to do what I want to do, He's not going to work it for your good. And so those two things you have to know, but if those two things are true in your life, if you love the Lord and you want to do His will, then everything that He allows, He's going to work for your good. And that's a wonderful promise to have, because life hurts. And when you're really hurting, you need to have the hope, I don't know how God's going to do this, but He's going to turn even this for my good and the good of those that I love. Habakkuk had a real problem. He said in Habakkuk 3:17, and I want you to imagine you're living in a country like this. We live in the richest country on the earth, I believe. And we have, you go to Myers or Walmart or wherever you shop, the shelves are almost always full. Anybody remember when COVID-19 first started and you went to Walmart or Myers and, wait a minute, there's no toilet paper, there's no Kleenex, there's not this, there's not. And we thought, how can this be? Habakkuk came to a time worse than that. Listen to what he says. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, and though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall. Folks, it can't get much worse. There's no food. There's famine. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Folks, it's so important you understand. When the bottom drops out of your life, and it will from time to time, everybody I know goes through those seasons. Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Folks, you're going to walk through that valley. And not just when you die, when things precious to you are in trouble. Habakkuk said, there's no food to feed the kids. There's no backup food. There's nothing. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And you say, what have you been smoking? What's going on that you're going to rejoice? He doesn't say, I'm going to rejoice in my trouble. He said, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because he knows the end of the story. Folks, do you know the end of the story for you? Do you know that when this life passes, that you've got a hope of eternal life? Do you know that when you lose everything you have, you still have your relationship with the Lord? If you do, you can rejoice no matter what life brings. I'm not saying your heart's not going to break. What I am saying is you can take your questions to God and you can honestly ask him anything. Habakkuk went to the Lord with questions. He had a lot of questions. He said, God, why don't you hear me? And sometimes when we're praying and we're asking, Lord, I wish you'd do what I want you to do, and he doesn't answer, we say, Lord, why don't you hear me? Well, son, daughter, it might be because you're not praying, Lord, what's your will in this? You're telling me what you want, but you're not asking me what I want. Sometimes that might be. God, why don't you help me? Believe it or not, he is helping you, or you wouldn't be alive. Folks, that next breath you take, God has to allow that, or you don't get it. Every good and every perfect gift you're ever going to get comes from God. But there are times when God takes away. We don't like it, but God has a purpose. God, why do you make me look at injustice? I've got enough wrong with my own country, and now you're bringing an even worse country. What's going on? God, why do you tolerate so much wrongdoing? Folks, those are all good questions. There's nothing wrong with asking them. When we come to the Lord with honest questions, he'll give us an honest answer. He says if we seek him, we'll find him. So you can, as we talked last week, you can run to God with any honest question. He won't be offended. He won't be upset. He may tell you something you don't want to hear, but he will tell you. So we come to God with our questions. And number two, Habakkuk learned to rejoice even in the worst of the situations that life could bring. Not rejoice about the situation, but rejoice in his relationship with his God. Habakkuk 3:17 again. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the field produces no food, and there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall. Folks, that means that there's nothing. There's no Meijer's open because Meijer's has nothing to sell. You can't go to Walmart. You can't go to Target. You can't go anyplace because nobody's got anything. The stock market is zero. You have no savings. You have no future. Your money is worth nothing. That's where he's at. He says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. Why? Because we don't just hope in the Lord for this life. We hope in the Lord for the life to come. Folks, it's going to be wonderful. Dave mentioned this morning in Sunday school. He's looking forward to the time when he can be done with the craziness of this life. I'm looking forward to the same thing. I hope you are. There's going to come a time in a few years when I'm not going to have to put up with all the crazy stuff that goes on anymore. I'm going to be in heaven with my Lord. The Apostle Paul tells us the same thing. And when we go to Philippians 4:4, we say, well, yeah, he's an apostle. He's a very religious man. Everything goes good for him. Anybody know where the Apostle Paul is when he wrote the book of Philippians? He's in a Roman jail. He's maybe going to be beheaded. And he knows it. He's about to die for his faith. And he says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Why would somebody say that in that situation? Because when they cut off his head, and they did eventually cut off his head, absent from the body, what? Present with the Lord. He has a hope beyond this life. When you have that kind of a hope, it doesn't matter what happens, you're going to be just fine. Why should we rejoice in the Lord? Because the tomb is still empty. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. God's word is still true. No matter how bad life gets, God's word is still absolutely true. Our citizenship is in heaven, and the Lord is coming back for us. Those are all reasons that go beyond anything that can happen in life. In James 5, verse 8, James says, you too, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. How many years ago was that written? About 2,000 years ago. Coming is near? 2,000 years? Come on! But doesn't the Lord say 1,000 years is in his sight as a day? And a day is 1,000 years? Folks, Our time and his time are on two different time levels. Jesus tells us in John 16:33, and this is absolutely true for you as it is for me. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Why can we take heart when the bottom drops out of our life? Because the bottom dropping out of our life isn't the end of the story of our life. We have eternal life. We're looking beyond this life. Yes, we'd like to say everything's going to go wonderful in this life, but Jesus said, no, it's not. It's not going to go wonderful in this life. Why? Because God has this whole earth under a curse. And you say, well, why would God do that? Because of our sin. That's where all of our trouble comes from our sin. But God's going to restore things soon, and it's going to be the way he meant it to be in the beginning. We rejoice not because we're worthy, not because we're able, but because we choose to live by faith. We choose to say, yes, everything seems to be going wrong in my life, but I will rejoice in the Lord. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is what? The joy of the Lord is your strength, my friends. That's what will keep you going when you want to give up. That's what will give you that step to get back in step and move forward. And that's when God moves. God moves when his people praise him. The Apostle Paul, I want you to get the picture. This is in Acts 16. The Apostle Paul and Silas have been witnessing for Christ. And he cast out a demon out of a slave girl. And because of that, they arrest him and Silas. They throw him in jail. They whip him. They put him in the stocks, their hands and their feet, and they're bleeding out the back. And the Bible says at midnight, they're praying and singing praises to God. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. You want to see God work in your life in the middle of your trouble? You just start to praise him. He sent Jailhouse Rock. Folks, it's so important you understand God moves when we praise him, and especially when we choose to praise him in our times of trial and trouble. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people have been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord our God. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you understand this day is holy too? Not just because it's Sunday. Tomorrow's going to be holy day to the Lord too. And when you choose to rejoice instead of mourning and crying and weeping and woe is me, God is glorified. And when God's glorified, God moves. And that's when you're going to have your greatest strength. We need to trust in God to see us through our times of trial. One of the greatest phrases found in Scripture is it came to pass. You know, every trial in your life comes to pass. There's a time when I was a boy, I wanted to play sports in the worst way. My mom was always afraid I was going to get hurt playing football. Man, it grieved my heart. I really wanted to play ball. But it came to pass. It didn't last forever. It did last all the way through high school. But I want to tell you, it comes to pass. Don't get so caught up in what you don't have that you forget what you do have. God has richly blessed us. We rejoice in him in the midst of our troubles. Habakkuk, the name, means to wrestle with God. But it also means to embrace God. Most of our names have a double meaning. In Habakkuk chapter 1, Habakkuk's wrestling with God. He doesn't understand why God's allowing the trouble. He doesn't know why God's going to use a wicked nation to bring judgment. He doesn't understand what God's up to. But when you hit chapter 3, He went from wrestling to God to embracing God and all that he's doing. He says in Habakkuk 3:19, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Folks, that's exciting to me. Sovereign Lord is Yahweh Jehovah. Folks, do you understand? The sovereign Lord, the God of the universe, can be your strength too. He can see you through all the hard times of life, and you're going to have some. I don't know anybody that hasn't had those times of deep, deep sorrow in heart. Even our Lord Jesus said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Folks, don't think Jesus didn't suffer either. He did. But he knew how to turn to the Lord. He knew how to ask the right questions. He knew how to wait on the Lord and rejoice in his Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:8, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we set our hope that we will continue, that he will continue to deliver us. As you help by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Folks, your prayers do make a difference. You need to keep on praying, not only for yourself, but for others too, because other people are going through similar trials to what you are. As we turn to the Lord in prayer and trust him, we can gain the strength that we need to just simply stay faithful. We don't have to do everything perfectly, but we have to maintain our faith. In 2 Timothy 4:17, Paul says, "But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." Anybody know how the Apostle Paul died? He had his head cut off. And you say, "Wait a minute, Paul. Didn't you say God was going to protect you and take you safely home?" He did. Folks, you're going to die one way or the other. Okay? Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, you and I eventually are going to die. Having your head cut off is no different than dying of old age or any other method of death. God did protect him until when? Until what God had called him to do was completed. There's going to come a time in your life and mine when what God had planned for us to do is going to be completed. And then he's going to take us home. Whether that's 20 or 50 or 80 or 100. It doesn't matter. We're going home with the Lord. Remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the burning fiery furnace? Folks, what a great story that was. If they had never been thrown into that furnace, they would have never seen the power of God as they did. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 14, "And Nebuchadnezzar said unto them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Folks, when you're going to take a stand for the Lord, sometimes it's going to cost you dearly. They were going to be thrown in the burning fiery furnace. The men, there were two soldiers that threw them in, huge men in the military, threw them in, and the Bible says when they threw them in, those two men died. The fire was so hot. But when they got thrown into the furnace, what did they discover? There was another man in the furnace. That was Jesus Christ pre-incarnate. They would have never seen that had they not taken their stand for God. When you take your stand for God and you say, though everything seems to be against me, I'm going to choose to rejoice in my Lord, you're going to see the power of God in your life. That's the promise of the Lord. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. Where is your hope? Is your hope in you and what you can do, or your husband or your father or your mother? Or is your hope finally in the Lord? Are you saying, I don't care who it is, they can't deliver me? But God can and God will. Once you get to that point, you're going to be able to rejoice. You know, strength. When you were a little boy or girl, if you did go to Sunday school on a regular basis, you heard the story about Samson. Anybody remember the pictures of Samson that you saw? Great big guy, huge muscles, because he's the strongest man that ever lived. And you think, wow, what a guy. I want to tell you the truth. I don't believe Samson looked like that at all. I believe Samson was like Barney Fife. And the reason I believe that is because the people that he was warring against said, where does this man get that great power? If he was a huge guy, Hulk Hogan type of a guy, wouldn't be any question where he gets his power, because, man, that guy's built 26-inch arms, wow! But if he's a Barney Fife guy, and he takes the jaw of a donkey and he kills 1,000 Philistines, where does he get that power? That power was from God. And when Samson allowed his hair to be cut, because he devolved to Delilah, where his strength was, his hair was a picture of his relationship. And the Lord had told him, don't you cut your hair. You cut your hair, you lost your strength. Barney Fife was like anybody else, Samson. They knew he didn't have that kind of strength. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So many Christians, so many people, think, I can do it. I can't do it. I can only do it as God strengthens me. And that's where our hope has to be. In Habakkuk 3:19, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He enables my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the height. And so you do a little bit of investigation, and you find out the kind of deer that he's talking about is called a hind. It's a deer, a red deer, that lives up in the mountains. And the hind has something unique about itself that's not true of any other animal. The hind, when it runs, its front feet, he can see his front feet, he plants it on a safe spot going up the mountain, and his rear feet land in exactly the same spot. It gives him the ability to go up on the heights. It gives him the ability for stability where everything else is falling down. Because the hind feet land right on the same spot as the front feet. And what the Lord is saying here is, if you'll trust him, you can have that kind of strength. Not strength just to get through, not strength just to help me get past this, but strength to flourish in it. How do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego felt when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ walking in the fire with them? They didn't just get through that. They came out stronger than ever, and that's what the Lord wants to do with us. He wants us to trust in him. In Psalm 23, verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Folks, he doesn't say, yea, though I dwell in the valley of the shadow of death. He says, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death. God doesn't want you to stay in your trouble forever. He wants you to learn the lesson. He wants to teach you, and he wants to bring you out stronger than ever. If you'll trust the Lord, that's exactly what he will do, regardless of the circumstances. Now, last week, I mentioned about a great theologian called Rocky Balboa. And Rocky Balboa said, there's nothing harder than life. Well, I want to close with Rocky Balboa this week. Rocky Balboa said, it ain't about how hard you can hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. It's about how much you can take and keep moving. Folks, that's what we're talking about today. Life is going to hit you. It's going to hurt. We have great joy in this life. We also have great sorrow and great pain. When those times of sorrow come, remember where your strength is. It's not in you. It's not in me. It's in our Lord. And as we continue to rejoice in him, it's a choice we have to make. Are you going to let life get you down, or are you going to be an overcomer? The only way we can overcome is keep our eyes on Christ. If you look around at this life, you're going to get very depressed. But if you look at this life through the eyes of Christ, you've got hope no matter what your situation brings. So, Father, we got to admit, sometimes life really hurts. Father, when that time comes, we ask you, Lord, to be our strength, to remind us of the precious promises of God that make us more than able to keep going forward for your glory. And Father, we're going to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.